If we say that God in some sense suffers, do we not drag him out of heaven and make him like one of us? Do we not substitute for the reality of God an idol of our human imagining, an idol that is in the first instance comforting, rather comforting to think that God understands our suffering and is with us in it, but actually at the end of the day it's not comforting at all, because we've undercut the possibility of any really radical protest at suffering in the universe by saying that suffering is part of God's own being. That is a huge question. It is, incidentally, one of the central drivers of the development of early Christian thought about God. And when I've finished in a few moments, we shall stand and we shall say the Creed, that old text from the 4th century AD. Those words that we say are deeply shaped by the question, how does God share in our suffering and yet be beyond suffering? I don't know how, but I'm convinced that paradox is essential for Christian belief. The paradox that God is involved in our suffering. He shares it, above all in Jesus crucified, in the division that happens on Good Friday, the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? In these things, God is present to suffering, or suffering is deeply present to God in God's own being. And yet at the same time, I affirm, as we must surely affirm, that God is beyond suffering, that the ocean of his tranquility and goodness cannot be riven, as our human experiences are, by suffering, and it's both and at the same time. Very intriguingly, I find this insight in another world religion. At first sight, the one that looks most unlike Christianity, much less like Christianity than Islam or Judaism. And yet in another one, in a sense, it's the one that I'm constantly drawn towards as the thing that looks most familiar, and that's Buddhism. Buddhism is founded, the practice of Buddhism is founded on the practice of compassion. We are to practice the deepest possible compassion, as the Buddha did, to all living things. And through the practice of compassion, we will find that we are able to move beyond the realm of suffering to enter into a state of enlightenment, where all worldly suffering is seen to be illusory and we are free of it. Now, Buddhist theology, Buddhist metaphysics, the Buddhist doctrine of God is about as unlike the Christian doctrine of God as it can be, because the Buddhists don't have a doctrine of God. God's not in their system. And yet, at the same time, this notion that we, through the practice of an infinite compassion, are able to be in touch with that which is beyond compassion. It's a hugely Christian idea. It's just that we call the what is beyond compassion not enlightenment, but we call it God. And in mystical practice, Christians and Buddhists are surprisingly alike. And in their understanding of the hardness of knowing God, well, of course, Buddhists respond to the hardness of knowing God by saying that there isn't in the end a meaningful way of talking about God at all. But what they say about not God is rather like what some Christians say about the dark night and the unknowability of God in his transcendence. Odd that Buddhists should have arrived at the point that I think Christians always arrive at, and fascinating, and perhaps an indicator that it is deeply, deeply true that God is compassion, hugely overwhelmingly compassionate to the victims of storm and hurricane and earthquake, to each of us when we suffer, when things go awry and wrong for us, however it came about. God deeply, deeply, deeply shares in the experience of pain and grief and loss that we have. And yet, at the same time, he is beyond it. That the resurrection in Jesus opens the way into the place where God is perfect, perfect in his joy, unalloyed joy, not darkened by any shadow of our darkness and grief. Pure joy, perfection of goodness and love. To him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be glory, now and always. Amen.